Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. With Dr. Dan Critchett, Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctor is in. Now here is your host, Dr. Dan Critchett.
And I want to welcome you to Second Half Now. This is a radio show for boomers and beyonders, and it occurs to me that there aren't very many places where you can dial in either on the air or online and find a radio show talking about the very significant issues that we deal with in this age and stage for boomers and beyonders. And just for reference, the boomers are those of us who were born between 1946 and 1964, and most of my guests fit into that category, including the one for today, right?
That's right. You
fit into that category?
All right, good.
And we discuss the things that matter to us in this 50-plus generation. There's about 76 million of us throughout the entire United States, and I'm happy to welcome you to yet another edition of Second Half Now. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, and I've got some questions for you. How are you doing in the second half of life? I mean, really. Whether you're still working or whether you're looking at retiring or whether you're already retired, whatever, I want to know, how are you doing? Are you doing as well as you had hoped you would when you were in your 30s and 40s and you're thinking, well, gosh, someday I'm going to be in my 50s and 60s and this is what I would like to see happening. This is the kind of life I'd be living. How are you doing with that? Are you finding satisfaction and fulfillment with the choices that you are making and the life that you're living now? How are you doing with energy and enthusiasm for life? And those really kind of go together because I find that people that have low energy don't have much enthusiasm, and actually the other way around too. Are you able to do the things that are meaningful to you? We have those freedoms and those discretions at this stage in life. And are you making a difference? Are you making a difference somewhere, somehow? And most of us have room for improvement in these areas, and that's what we want to talk about today. The title of today's show is Making the Second Half the Best It Can Be. And our guest in studio today is going to help us with that, but first I want to lay a little bit of a foundation, which I do almost every show, and that is we deal with the five core topics in almost everything that we do, everything that we are concerned with, everything that confronts us in life will fit into one of these five categories. Number one is home and family. Number two is health and wellness. Number three is budget and finances. Number four is heart and soul. And number five is work and purpose. This show is designed to help boomers and beyonders thrive. And then it's not as an end in itself, but it's the so that phrase that we always use. So we want you to do well in all of those five areas so that you can find and fulfill your calling. Today's guest and today's topic is fits into the category, the last one, number five, and that is work and purpose. Again, today's topic title, Making the Second Half the Best It Can Be. Let's talk about it. Our special guest in studio today is Dale Size. Some of you will recognize that name, and if not him, you know his wife, Julie. She's been very active with Christian Chamber of Commerce Northwest, and with serving our neighbors and transformational leadership and a whole bunch of other stuff. But Dale has a life, too. I knew Julie long before I knew you, Dale, but I want to thank you for coming in and welcome to Second Half Now.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me here. I look forward to just chatting with you and sharing with your listeners as well.
And we were just telling Roger, the engineer, that we've had such a good chat that if he had recorded that, we can just put that on the air and call it good. But let's be intentional and purposeful with what we're going to talk about, because it is such an important subject, such an important thing, because what we want to do is understand how we make choices in this second half of life. And we're going to use a term. This is the phrase that that Dale wants to drill down on, and that is the term leisure. And it has to do with how we use our leisure time. So, Dale, let's first of all just get a little bit of a context for who you are and how you are coming to this subject.
Absolutely. I think on the topic of leisure, free time, work, balance, and so forth, it really began to resonate with me during my college years. I was a recreation administration major. you know, I had gotten a real estate scholarship to go to college. And when I really started to evaluate what I wanted to do, I really realized I wanted to serve people. My motive for being in real estate was probably more financial than anything else. And so when I became a student of recreation and leisure, I realized something that I hadn't heard a lot of before, and that is how important the choices that a person makes with their leisure time and how critical they are. And I think as I grew in faith, in fact, I became a Christian during my college years, I recognize even of greater importance that the Lord gives us choices. Mm. And when we're not eating, sleeping, and working, we have this thing called leisure. And the choices we make are important. So you're right. I'm a boomer, and I'm a bit in transition right now. I probably don't work as many hours as I did in my first half as I do in my now second half. And so I'm intrigued myself with this topic. I'm living it, and I'm trying to, and yeah. I'm learning about that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with you about it.
Dale and I met, a few months ago at a Christian men's lunch, and I was intrigued by some of the things that he was saying, particularly a couple of churches that he's been involved with that I recognized. And so we decided to meet for coffee and talk about it a little bit more. And I think, Dale, you're on to something that is very significant, because we tend to kind of end up with sort of a default lifestyle when things drop off, if we don't have all the baseball games to go through, you know, with our kids or grandkids or whatever, and if work is winding down, we tend to kind of fall into some maybe not as productive or healthy or beneficial patterns. And I want to drill down into that some. So with your background and your training, and now actually being in this second half, what can you tell us at the outset? Let's just kind of paint a bigger picture about this leisure or discretionary or the times of our weeks where we have choices to make. What does that look like?
Well, I think the first thing fundamentally is to just to see that it's a season in your life, mm-hmm. And to embrace it. I'm really blessed. My wife and I we're really on the same page in this area of embracing the different seasons in our life. I remember when our oldest daughter was ready to graduate from high school and go to college, we had a lot of other parents come and say, "Aren't you nervous about sending your daughter away and she's going to go to college and all that?" And Julie and I looked at each other and we go, we knew she was going to go to college after high school, so we just embraced that and enjoyed that season of our life and so on. And now we're empty nesters and we're enjoying that season mm-hmm. in our life. So I think when we get to the stage where a lot of empty nesters, as you indicated in your intro, are either looking at retirement, they're retired now, or maybe their lifestyle has just changed to where they've slowed down a little bit, then to me, then they have a wonderful opportunity to embrace. And so as we talk further, we want to look at, you know, a person's priorities, a person's balance between work, between leisure, between their faith, and just kind of how that all plays out.
As I hear you talking about this subject, I know that this is something that's very important to you, and you've done some work in this area in terms of thinking it through, maybe even teaching or talking with people and kind of getting a handle on it. And I think that's so important because you and I both have a common background of being pastors.
Right.
And some of the folks, the retired people in my congregations, when I talk with them at church or visit them in their home or go out for coffee or whatever, some of these people are actually looking for things to do because they're bored, they're restless, they don't have that sense of purpose. They don't have a direction. And I know that you've seen that too in you know, when you have gotten acquainted with people in that age. So what would you say to those people at the outset?
Well, you know, it's a different answer for every person in terms of what the direction is and specifics and even what their purpose is. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing that a boomer has that they didn't have in, you know, a couple of decades prior was hopefully the life experience that they've had has helped them to understand how they're gifted, mm-hmm. how they're wired,
right?
You know, what their talent is, and it's mainly it becomes therefore an act of stewardship. You know, how do I manage
right.
that which God has given me?
Right.
He's given me time, he's given me talent, and he's given me treasure. And I think the reason I say let's embrace this season and let's look forward to it, not with dread, is because in many cases, those three things are increased. You know, your time is increased if you're slowing down or if you're retired.
Mm-hmm.
Your talent has hopefully been developed and you have a bit of a handle as how God has wired you.
Right.
And then thirdly, you know, your treasure. Maybe if you've been blessed enough to be able to plan for retirement, you have some resources and maybe you didn't have in your earlier stage in life.
Right.
And therefore, you can make some really good decisions.
Yeah.
I think balance is a key, really.
Balance. And we're going to get to that
okay.
Later in the show because it is really important. A couple of things that I'm thinking of. I see God involved in our lives through the early years and purposely and intentionally shaping us with what he's already given us. And you were talking about giftings and talents and experiences and relationships and all that. And so I'm just picturing, you know, God watching us move through the timeline. And we get to be 40 and we're still being shaped, right? We get to be 50, we're still being shaped. By the time we're 55, 60, 65 and so, I think God is saying, all right, I've got this person shaped now. And now let's get to work. And the person will often say, and they don't get it. They say, well, I just want to go golfing. I just want to rest. I just want to sleep in.
Sure.
And I just can imagine God saying, wait a minute. I've been shaping you all this time for a purpose.
Yeah.
And you and I both know that this is the best time of life if we embrace it, like you use that term, and if we take an assessment, take an account of how God has shaped us. There's some things in our life, and I don't know you that well, Dale, but I'm sure that there are some things in your life that you didn't have before in terms of shaping, and those have not always been easy. And so I'm just picturing God saying, all right, this guy's going to retire pretty soon. I can hardly wait to fill his life with good things, with all of the shaping that I've been doing for these past 20, 30 years.
Absolutely. You know, we're kind of like in the potter's hand.
Yeah.
And he is shaping us. And
right.
I think sometimes for us, and I'll speak primarily to the men, is that sometimes our own self-image or of our shape is predicated mm-hmm. on what we do for work.
Right.
You know, you meet somebody for the first time, and usually one of the first questions is, you know, what do you do?
Right.
And so with that being set aside, right. if you're not working, or maybe, and it would be unfortunate, but I'm sure there's several people that they're working in an industry just because they've been there, they've done that, and they have so many years to retire. And so therefore, what's happening is their work is really not who they are. And so they need to kind of find out a little bit more of who they are in Christ, particularly
right.
as they, and sometimes their shape is redefined for sure during their retirement years or during their second half.
I have a friend who is, I want to say the early 80s, and we meet for coffee and he's a great guy and he's very energetic and very outgoing and so forth. And he said, gave me a quote a few months ago that I'll never forget. And it's right along the lines of what we're talking about now. He says, if what you do is who you are, then what you don't, then when you don't, you aren't.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, isn't that in retirement?
Yeah.
You know, if you are an account executive or if you're a mechanic or if you're an office manager, whatever else, when you stop doing that, that's not you anymore. So then when you're 68 and you meet somebody and they say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm not so sure. I'm retired,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
then there's kind of an emptiness, kind of a void
sure.
there. Yeah.
I think a lot of guys probably don't know what to say, you know, when
right.
they no longer have their work. But
right.
I would suggest, having given this some thought, that a person take this season of time to really understand their own identity,
right.
particularly their identity in Christ.
Right.
You know, we are not a product of what we do. We are a creation made in the likeness of
right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so he has shaped us. He has uniquely has plans for us. And so, you know, our identity is really in him and in our
yeah.
faith. And, you know, since we came to Christ not through our works, why are we defined by our work?
Right. Oh, that's a good point. I like that. I'm thinking, too, that it's very well known that in our generation, as contrasted to previous generations, especially our parents and our grandparents, when you're looking at 65, if you can make it past 65 for a couple of years, you're doing good. in our generation, Dale, as boomers, when we hit 65, it's just a milepost and we're still going.
Yes.
And we have 20, 25, 30 years more. That's why a lot of the financial planning people and businesses are so essential, because if you're going to live another 30 years, in fact, the Wall Street Journal reported recently that 86, I'm just grabbing a number, it's close to my recollection, 86% of boomers would rather die than outlive their money.
Interesting.
So what about if we took care of that part? And we still have, you know, we hit 65, we still have 20, 25, 30 years to go. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life and not just goof off?
Yeah.
And not just kill time and, you know, mow the yard and rattle around the house and, you know, build birdhouses. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But what you and I are talking about is things that are meaningful, things that make a difference, things that... that help other people, the things that are deposits of who we are,
right,
that God can actually use in the lives of other people.
Well, the circle of friends that I kind of spend time with, you know, we talk a lot about kingdom building, and we talk about eternal things. You know, and the Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. Mm. So even the best of us know that, you know, there's so much more to life than just the here and now.
Right, right. So I want to talk about... having the right perspective about work, and we've kind of touched on that a little bit, but I want to hear some more, and we're going to hear that right after the break. Don't go away.
Do you have an elderly parent that is becoming isolated, not eating well, feeling depressed or fearful of losing independence? Do you know your options? Need peace of mind or know what is best for yourself or others during their golden years of life? At no cost to you or your family, Golden Placement Services can give you hope in the midst of great change. Even if it means staying at home is the right option. Call the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Helping to plan a funeral for someone you love is a painful process. It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people plan for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you step by step through the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial will even help you complete your plans with the expert assistance of trained and caring advisors. There are a lot of very good reasons to plan ahead. Make sure your final wishes are respected, sparing your loved ones the added grief of planning for you and having to pay for it. If you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation, and take advantage of budget-friendly payments. There is a free informational seminar that includes a complimentary meal at a restaurant in your area very soon. Find out more and ask any questions you may have by calling Katie at 503-807-5715. It costs nothing to learn how you can protect your loved ones by planning ahead. Give Katie at Dignity Memorial a call today at 503-807-5715.
Interest rates are still down, and that means the time to buy is right now. Let 24/7 Properties help you find the right house for your current needs. Jeff and his team, they take the time to get to know you and your unique situation to find the home that's just right for you. Search for available homes online at 247prop.com.
I'm Jeff Edmondson, founder of 24/7 Properties. Call me today and let's talk about the type of property you are interested in purchasing. No obligation, no cost. Let's find out what's right for you. Call me, 503-780-3030.
We are back, and I'm in studio today with Dale Size, and we're talking about retirement. And the second half, and the title of this particular show is called Making the Second Half the Best It Can Be. And I sure want to give a recognition to our wonderful partners and sponsors. You've heard three of them on these little radio spots just now, but I also want to mention Hearthstone Senior Living, Transformational Finance with Stuart Funke, Dan the Mortgage Man, Portland City Acupuncture with Mariko, and Next Phase Coaching, Eric Howard and Dr. Dan Miller with Beavertson Chiropractic. These are the folks that come alongside us and engage in our ministry together and help us provide this content and these things to our listening audience, both the website, all the podcasts, and the live broadcasts that airs every Monday at 5:30 p.m. right here on KKPZ 1330. So, Dale, I want to thank you again for coming in. I'm just really getting into this subject because, I mean, we're both living it, right? I mean, we're both in that age and stage, and we have found some distinct differences, both in our own experiences as we look at others, that there's a big difference between living a life that's meaningful and purposeful and intentional. You and I have used that word a lot. And so it is a matter of having the right perspective on work and what it means then when it comes time to lay that down or to be in that that stage where maybe we don't have to do what we have been doing, although some people will keep on working at their current job.
Sure.
Until they're 70, 75, whatever. I mean, I know some people that are going strong at the job they've had for a number of years, and they're 80 years old. But we have other options, too. We may want to start a business. We may want to start a nonprofit that can actually derive an income, something that the way that God has shaped us, you know, we can provide a ministry service and derive a livelihood from that. So let's, you know, we've talked a lot about, as we look out, I mean, you and I are too young to be thinking about, you know, looking at our 90s. At least you're not very close to that. I'm getting there. I'm pushing 70 here pretty soon. So, let's talk about, you know, there's a phrase that people use about finishing well or finishing strong. So what are some thoughts that we ought to be thinking about in that regard?
Well, that's a good question. And the older we get, the more we realize that there's a finish line awaiting for each one of us. You know, Hebrews says that God has an appointed time to promote those that are in walking in relationship with the Lord. So, you know, to me, I like, if you're running a race and you want to succeed and you want to win that race, I think what's important is look at the finish line.
Right.
And at the what I see in the scriptures is we're going to stand before the Lord, and someday he's going to say to us, well, hopefully, well done, good and faithful servant.
Right.
He also calls us a friend. And you look at the scriptures in the Gospels, and as Jesus talks, he mentions that for those that didn't enter in, it's because they didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that did, he says, you know, I did know you. So I would suggest giving this topic a bit of thought that it's not so much about what we do. We're not going to stand before the Lord at the finish line and say, you know, my portfolio was this. This is how many properties I own. This is how much money I have in the bank. It's all about, well, did I know you? And so one of the things that I feel strongly about is that not so much of what we do during our retirement years, but that we have an opportunity to be. And for example, you know, when, you know, as you alluded to earlier, being a pastor, you know, we would work 50, 60, 70 hour weeks. And sometimes our quiet time was squeezed into a 90, you know, second, you know, God bless me for the day.
Arrow prayer.
Yeah. And so now, you know, if you have that leisure time during your second half, you have opportunity to do some of the things that you want to do, but also you have an opportunity to draw a little closer to the Lord.
Right. You had a couple of biblical examples that we had talked about before.
Yeah, I think on that note, I think the thing that comes to my mind as far as finishing well and finishing strong, the two Old Testament examples are a father and son, and that's King David and King Solomon.
Yeah.
And, you know, you most of your listeners know the story. King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. You know, he was David's son. He was the one that took over the throne after David. And yet, even though he was the wisest man that ever lived and accomplished some great things, built the temple, etc., he didn't finish so well. And he didn't finish well because his heart was not devoted to the Lord. And now think about David in contrast, okay? Mm-hmm. David was driven. He was passionate. He was a warrior.
Yeah.
He accomplished great things. He was probably a pretty type A kind of guy and got a lot done. But the Bible says about that was regarding David and Solomon was that Solomon didn't finish well because he didn't have he didn't have the heart that his father David did. Mm. And what we know about David was that he had a heart after God. Even though he sinned, you know, he repented, he came back to the Lord. So I think sometimes in our second half, there's a finished work and a business we can do in primarily in our relationship with the Lord and in our relationship with others.
And even to this day, some of the Psalms that David wrote are so powerful for all of us. They really dig down into where we are and where we live. And, you know, Dale, I'm looking at the engineer through the glass, and he says, time's up.
Wow.
We're going to wind down. But let's mention just briefly about what we're going to cover on the podcast, which is going to be the part two on the website. And you had quoted in our earlier conversations, sometimes we or other people, we worship our work.
Work at our play and play at our worship.
Yeah. And yeah, let's pick that up.
Let's cover that next time.
Yeah, that is so important. Say it one more time.
Well, it's the problem today is that so many people worship their work, they work at their play, and they play at their worship. So in the next segment, we'll try to help find balance and realignment to all that.
Absolutely. I love that. Thanks, Dale. We're going to carry over to the podcast. So in order to get that, Mr., Mrs. Listener, you need to go to our website, secondhalfnow.com, and then go to the radio archive tab and click on that and look at all of our shows there. And this one with Dale Sies, S-I-E-S, will be there too. This show today is called Making the Second Half the Best It Can Be. We've got other guests coming in shows coming up. I've been mentioning a couple of mayors. They're going to come in and talk about how Christian people can be involved in the community and can bless the other folks in the community. We have a person coming in, a Medicare expert, and we just have so much. I can't even list it all. But I want to encourage you, remind you to tune in every Monday. We're here on the air Monday, 5:30 to 6 p.m., on the radio station KKPZ. If you're listening to it on the podcast, it's not live, but you're also able to tune in on their website, kkpz.com, and do the listen live. If you have questions about today's topic or have other suggestions about other guests that we might have or things that we might want to discuss, go to our website, secondhalfnow.com. And if you have a question or suggestions for Dale, do that in that same way, too. So I want to thank you for listening today. Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. I'm Dan Critchett, your host. Let's continue the conversation with Dale Sies on part two, secondhalfnow.com. See you there.
Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on with Dr. Dan Critchett. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctor is in. Now here is your host, Dr. Dan Critchett.
This is part two of the show that is titled Making the Second Half the Best It Can Be. And I'm in studio with Dale Sies. We're talking about some pretty important stuff. And I love this topic and I love our guests because these are the kind of things that keep us going. Because we are in the second half and we are thriving on some important areas. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, and this portion is available to you only as a podcast. And you can go to our website, secondhalfnow.com, around the clock and around the world, that is available. And I hear that it's also available on iTunes and YouTube, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure. That's not my department. But anyway, so Dale, I'm going to welcome you again and thank you so much for coming in and talking about these important things.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be here. Great topic, and hopefully we can get into some nuts and bolts that will help some of your listeners out.
Yeah, we're saving the good stuff for the end here, right? So as we left, we were just finishing up the category of talking about finishing well, and I know there's a couple things we want to say about that, but we introduced another thing on part one, and that is the phrase, what's that phrase again?
The phrase is that the problem today is that for some is that they tend to worship their work at their play, and play at their worship.
Wow. We're going to dig into that. So let's finish up with finishing well. We used a couple of Old Testament examples that you were talking about, King David and King Solomon. One finished well, the other not so much. And then we were looking at a couple of scripture verses. So how would you like to kind of wrap this up for us and the whole concept of finishing well?
Well, I think sometimes people go to the Apostle Paul and they look at his comment. You hear it in a lot of memorial services about finishing the race.
Right.
And, you know, we are in a race. You know, we have this dash, if you will, between two dates, the date we were born and the date that we'll die. That dash is that race, if you
will.
And regarding Paul, he says in 2 Timothy 4, he says, I have fought the good fight. Three things here. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Mm. So I think the message there for second half boomers is that there is a good fight to fight.
Right.
You know, and if there's a good fight, maybe there's a bad fight.
Mm.
Or maybe there's a good fight and there's a God fight. And so those are some of the choices I think that boomers make in the second half.
Right.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do for the kingdom? What am I going to do for eternity? What kind of spiritual fight is there that I can do now that I have a little bit more time?
And before you move on to the next one, let's talk a little bit more about that. Because when we use the term fight, we might be thinking about boxing or wrestling or beating up on people. Say a little bit more, Pastor Dale, about this fight that we're in. And Paul says, I have fought the good fight. What might that mean for our listeners who are in the second half of life now?
Well, to those that are, you know, followers of Christ, Christ followers, there is a fight that we're in. You know, there's a battle. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the armor of God because we're in a spiritual battle.
Right.
So once again, with the experiences that we've had, hopefully our faith is strong. There's a spiritual fight that we have for the souls of people. And you and I share a similar passion and interest in helping lost people find the Lord, and that's a bit of a battle in itself.
Yeah.
But I think the point I'm making here is that, you know, at the end of Paul's life, he saw he was not only in the second half, but he saw that finish line.
Mm.
He felt that he had fought a fight, that he's finishing his race, and he's kept his faith. Now, interestingly, what was his career before all this? He was a tent maker.
Yeah.
He doesn't even mention that.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, I'm at the end of the race. I wish I had a little bit more time to make a few more tents.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that's true with
people.
That's
good. I like that.
Well, I think it's true with people at the end of their life is they realize what it is that's really important, you know, and if they make a gadget, you know, do they really need to make gadgets? I've been with people, you have too, as pastors that are at the end of their life. Very few times have I heard a person say, man, I wish I would have put a few more hours of overtime in on the job.
Yeah.
It's more about relationship.
Right.
And that's what I really get to with the second half is that it's an opportunity. You know, we talked about earlier about it being having unique opportunities in the second half that we didn't have the first. We alluded to the 90-second quiet time, and now we, you know, if a person that's retired doesn't have too much on their plate, if they want to spend 3 hours and in the Word and in prayer, they can do it, you know. And we alluded to David in Psalm 46, I believe it was, says, "Be still and know that I am God."
Yeah.
So I think it really starts with our relationship with the Lord, cultivating it at a deeper level in this wonderful season of our life before we move on and figure out what his renewed purpose is in our life.
You know, I really like that because I'm picturing some actual people in my congregations as a pastor, and I think that they would not be able to repeat these words from Paul. And specifically, when Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I know some people who would say, I didn't fight. Hmm. I didn't fight the good fight. And they maybe have regrets or whatever later, and they just, you and I are in the fight, and we are fighting the good fight now, and it's the best, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I got you a little bit off track. I have fought the good fight. I've
kept the faith.
Kept the faith.
I've run the race.
Yeah.
I've finished the race.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about, that's what it's about. It's about our faith in the Lord. It's our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at maybe the cross is a good illustration. If you take if you draw yourself a cross and you look vertically and horizontally, and vertically it's being, B-E-I-N-G, and then horizontally it's doing. It's the being. It's being in that relationship with Jesus that cultivates our purpose and therefore the things things that we do. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's doing was dramatically changed from being a tent maker and a persecutor of Christians to one that was following the Lord and fighting the race and sharing the gospel and doing all that he accomplished. And I think that's our challenge too, is what's in my hand? What can I do now that I have a little bit more resources and of time and effort?
And it's no small matter that you and I and our listeners are recipients and inheritors of what it was that Paul did. I mean, when I read from the epistles, any of the letters that Paul wrote and the testimony of his faith and the divinely revealed words that the Holy Spirit, put together in this New Testament of ours, I mean, I have been so blessed and benefited by so much of what Paul wrote.
Yeah.
And he fought the good fight and ran the race and kept the faith.
Absolutely.
Yay. And so I think what we're saying is that you and I, Dale, and our listeners, we want to be encouraged that we can do that exact same thing in our own way and in our own time.
Yeah. And I would suggest that in the course of our lifetime, if we're an average person, there's things that we've wanted to do, there's intentions, and rather than look at them as regrets later on in our life, here's an opportunity to make some adjustments, make some realignments, and get back to the things that are really important.
Right.
I'll give you an example. My neighbor I have a great neighbor. I live in a cul-de-sac. My neighbor, Larry, just retired, and I was talking to him, and I said, Larry, what are some of the initial things you plan on doing? Larry's not a man of faith yet, but he's pretty open. But what he said to me was, well, I'm going to catch up on some deferred projects. And I got to thinking about that. I think sometimes in our life, you might be 42 years old and you think, gee, I'd really like to just sit down and I'd love to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I just don't have time. So you kind of defer that off.
Right.
Maybe your local church has done a missions trip and you just haven't had the resources or the time to do it. And maybe that's something that's deferred. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just want to get involved in a ministry at your local church or in the community or serving your neighbors. And now you have that opportunity. I have another friend that does that. He's retired. He's a retired fireman. And he loves the fact that he goes down to a public school and he's kind of adopted a kid. It's a program that they have, and he's a mentor to a young boy in the school that doesn't have a role model. So that's part of the opportunities that I see in this season that we have spiritually to catch up on some things. You know, if you always wanted to go to Bible school, maybe just take a class at a local Christian school. You can do that, hopefully, during this season of life.
Yeah. That's all good stuff. I'm thinking of a friend of mine that I've known just for a little while now. His name is Bud. He was I don't think he'd mind me mentioning his name. He's 82 years old. He was the CEO of what is now Moda Health. It was ODS, Oregon Dental Service. And he took that company from a annual revenue of $4 million to over $500 million. And that same company now is over $3 billion in annual revenue. But here's a guy, I meet with him every couple of weeks. We have coffee and talk about life. I look at him, and he's 15 years ahead of me. And I'm saying, whatever he's doing, I want to know that, and I want to do that. Because he has a business degree from Harvard, and now he's working on an MBA from Northwestern.
Yeah.
And he's very engaged. He's on a few boards of directors around the country. He's very engaged, and he's very fulfilled, and he's just living a kind of life that I would like to have and when I catch up to that age at 82. And he's just a great role model for me, such a great man of faith. I really appreciate that.
Well, he's locked into his purpose.
Yes.
He's seen how God has wired him, and that may be that's his calling. It may not be yours. I mean, it may not be mine, but the Lord has a purpose and he has a plan for us.
Right.
And so I think the key is to, again, continue to grow like Bud is doing, but continue to grow in our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. Because from that, then he will speak to us. He'll show us
right.
what it is that we're to do. And as it says in Ephesians, you know, we are his workmanship and he works through us.
Right.
And so if we're open and if we're faithful and we're obedient, the blessings flow. I mean, you talk about 82 years old. How about 600? Yeah. You know, Noah yeah. was able to finish the building of the ark.
Yeah.
And then he was placed on the ark with his family and blessed and preserved and basically saved at the age of 600 when he joined, you know, when he jumped on the ark. And that was because of his faithfulness again, just like Paul.
And that passage, one last thing on that Ephesians passage, it says that God has prepared those works for us ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so if we're not walking in that way, if we're not tuned in, if we're not getting a hold of how God is leading us on a day-by-day, year-by-year basis, those things are going to remain undone by us anyway. Maybe someone else will.
Yeah.
But when we are his workmanship, and he set these things before us to do. And that's the fun part, right? It's a you know, you run the race and you fight the good, you fight the battle or fight the, what was the word?
Fight the good fight.
It sounds like, oh, man, that's tough. But you and I know it's the best part.
Well, right? And it's his fight. You know, we're just joining him, and he and you know Ephesians 3:20 talks about, you know, beyond all we can ask or imagine, the Lord is giving us his spirit to accomplish those. I like to ask people a question. You know, people of faith, followers of Christ. I ask them a bit of a rhetorical question. I'll say, you know, someone like yourself, Dan, when you came to Christ and you were saved by grace through faith, as we read about in Ephesians 2:8-9. Why didn't you just go to heaven then?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, if the goal is simply to become a Christian, why didn't we poof, go and get raptured then? And the answer that I would suggest, and people have to form that answer themselves, it's because the Lord has a purpose. He has a plan. He had it formed when we were still in our mother's womb.
Right.
You know, to me, you know, I know one of the questions you asked me is, Dale, where are you headed now? Where are you going for the next 5-10 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that much different than where I was yesterday. It's essentially, it's to know Christ and to make him known.
Yeah.
You know, under that, everything flows from relationship. You know, I tell people will say, well, how long have you been a minister? And I said, well, I was a minister before I was a pastor. And they kind of shake their head, and what are you talking about? Well, you know, 2 Corinthians says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So I think part of that purpose, if you will, is to minister to others and to let the light shine and the love of Christ to others.
Exactly. Well said. Let's get back to this phrase that we have put out there a little bit ago, and let's get back to it, that the problem is that some of us worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. So there's three functions: worship, work, and play. But we kind of get them twisted around sometimes when we worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. So shed some light on that for us.
Well, I think it becomes a matter of priorities and focus, and I think rightfully so. When we're younger, when we're in our first half, we're trying to provide for our family, get a career, figure out, you know, work our way up, you will, in the workplace. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's proper. But if we continue to carry that out and that work is such a premium to us, we have to recognize sometimes, especially in our first half, and if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes our work has come at a price. Maybe it's affected our marriage, our relationship with our spouse. Maybe it's affected our relationship with our kids. You hear stories, so many of them, even people in the ministry that have worked so hard in serving God that their children were neglected.
Right.
So so the emphasis on work should adjust a little bit. You can realign things. You can continue to work like your friend Bud. You can do things, but do it in the balance of other things that are important. We talk about worship, you know. We talk about play. I'll get to play in a minute, but as far as worship, if we were to take our worship experience, whether it be a Sunday worship service or daily in our worship experience, are we giving it the priority, the mm-hmm. time? Are we growing in that area? Or are we simply just kind of, like it says here, playing at our worship, not really taking it serious? And when you think about our eternity, a big part of our eternity is going to be in praise and worship to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I want to comment on play, because when do you hear anybody telling you how to play, right?
Right, right.
Or how not to play. Well, the phrase talked about working at our play. And you and I, we both know guys that play golf, and they're out there, and you know, they're frowning when they're playing because their game's not where it should be, and they're not recognizing that your play is a value in itself. It doesn't have to have a long-term effect. I'll give you an example. I'm really blessed in that I have a beautiful and one and only, my very first granddaughter. She's 1 year old.
Oh, boy.
A little shout out to little Vera Ray. And you know what I've been playing more than anything lately? I've been playing peekaboo.
Oh, okay.
Peekaboo with her. Yeah. It puts me in the moment. It connects me with my granddaughter. Yeah. She smiles, she laughs, and she's got a grandpa that plays peekaboo with her, and we're just bonding, you know, as a result of it. So there's value in play. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says that the physical exercise, play, exercise, and even sport, for example, is of some value,
right.
But the spiritual part is of eternal value and longer and greater worth.
I like it. Is that, did we cover the three? We worship our work, so we put maybe pay at the price and make that too high a priority. We work at our play, and we play at our worship.
We don't emphasize or take seriously enough the value of worship and how the Lord longs for that. He longs for that worship and relationship. We're giving worth to Him. And then in our play, like I said, we look at it as a task rather than of enjoyment that recreates our spirit.
Right, right. I don't know if I asked you this rhetorical question in one of our previous conversations, and that is, do you know anybody that is satisfied with their golf game? I mean, it's a battle out there, right? I mean, even the pros, they're never satisfied with their image. It's something that you have to keep working at.
Sure.
And you work at it.
Yeah, so. It's a great question. But take that even further. How many of us are satisfied with our relationship with Christ?
Yeah.
I mean, do we just reach a plateau? Mm. Okay, I'm at 59 and a half years of age, therefore I'm done growing in Christ.
Yeah.
And I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think as a boomer, we can just keep on growing and be all of what the Lord has for us to do.
More with Dale Size on the subject, making the second half the best it can be, right after our break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you have an elderly parent that is becoming isolated, not eating well, feeling depressed or fearful of losing independence? Do you know your options? Need peace of mind or know what is best for yourself or others during their golden years of life? At no cost to you or your family, Golden Placement Services can give you hope in the midst of great change, even if it means staying at home is the right option. Call the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Helping to plan a funeral for someone you love is a painful process. It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you step by step through the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial will even help you complete your plan with the expert assistance of trained and caring advisors. There are a lot of very good reasons to plan ahead. Make sure your final wishes are respected, sparing your loved ones the added grief of planning for you and having to pay for it. If you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation, and take advantage of budget-friendly payments. There is a free informational seminar that includes a complimentary meal at a restaurant in your area very soon. Find out more and ask any questions you may have by calling Katie at 503-807-5715. It costs nothing to learn how you can protect your loved ones by planning ahead. Give Katie at Dignity Memorial a call today at 503-807-5715.
Life changes have happened, and it's time to sell your house. That can be a difficult process when you've lived there for decades, especially under tragic circumstances like losing a spouse. 24/7 Properties takes the time to go over the details of your unique situation and understand your needs. We do what we can to maximize the value of your home. Learn online at 247prop.com.
I'm Jeff Edmondson, founder of 24/7 Properties. Call me today and let's have a conversation about selling your house. No obligation, no cost. Let's find out what's right for you. Call me, 503-780-3030. 503-780-3030.
We are back and glad to have you here. This is second half now, and our topic for today is making the second half the best it can be. And we have in studio Dale Size, who is speaking, well, I say with some feeling and passion and authority on this matter, Dale. So thank you again for coming in and talking about this, making the second half the best it can be. And I want to give a big thank you to our sponsors and partners, the three that you just heard the little radio spots for. And then we also want to mention Northwest Web Creation Company, Eastside Printing, Warner Pacific College, Multnomah University, KKPZ, this radio station, along with Chamber of Commerce Northwest, Christian Chamber of Commerce Northwest, and Serving Our Neighbors. Together, we make a pretty good team. We're on a mission together and bringing valuable content to the listeners who I think we have a rule. If you're not 50 and you're listening, you need to turn the radio off. Is that right?
I mean, sounds good.
Yes, that's right.
Unless they're thinking ahead.
That's right. Yeah, planning ahead. Okay, so we did how it's so easy to worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. And when we get those squared away and do them right, life is going to be better and richer. So, and you're going to talk about the three B's.
Yeah, and I think the transition into what I will call the three B's goes back to the worship and the work and the play. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of utilizing the opportunity and the freedom that we have in our second life to do a realignment. Mm-hmm. I'll share something a little bit facetious, but a true story. A friend of mine's tire shop, and over in the corner of there where they were doing some work, he had a scripture, and it was in the realignment section of it. And it's from Proverbs 11:1. It says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord,
whoa,
but a just weight is his delight." Yeah. Of course, we know the context of the scriptures is about money and stuff, but it was kind of fun to see how important realignment and balancing is to the automobile industry,
right,
more so to us.
Yeah.
And so I think as we get into our second half, again, we have the opportunity to do some rebalancing, if you will. And so that's the first B, is balance. Early in life, just because of the demands and the stresses and paying the bills and so forth, you know, we can get a little bit, maybe not totally, but a little bit off, and we need to make some corrections and some realignments.
That's well said.
And I kind of view it, another visual is kind of like a teeter-totter. Yeah. You know, a teeter-totter is typically not always balanced. And so the first half, there's an emphasis on something, but on the second half, we can emphasize some other things as well and get our life, you know, kind of more into balance.
Right.
We talked in our first set about deferred projects. And so once again, with our balance, we can balance some of the things that we never got to spiritually and in our relationship with Christ, the missions trip, the class at Multnomah College, or just serving someone, using the gifts of God, or being more intentional about sharing our faith. Maybe we didn't always have the time to do that as well as we wanted to. So balance is the first of the three B's to help us apply some of these truths during living the best life that we can in our second half. The other second B would be our body, and that touches on, you know, health and fitness. That is one of your core values with your ministry.
Right. And health and wellness.
Exactly. My neighbor, I live in a cul-de-sac, and we're out with my neighbor. We're mowing our lawns at the same time, and inevitably one of the two of us will yell out to the other, "Hey, Dale, I'm not 20 anymore, you know.
You
feel it when you're bending over and doing physical labor. Mm-hmm. And so once again, I think it's so important for us to fight our culture's tendency to be sedentary, mm-hmm. to be in front of the TV set, to be sitting down in front of our computer all the time. We need to realize that in the second half, unlike our 20s and 30s, we have to be more intentional about our health, take better care of our bodies, so our bodies will serve us, enabling us to do the things that God's called us to do.
I think our health and our physical nature is less forgiving when we're at this age. Early on, you can eat a bunch of junk food and, you know, not work out and not exercise, and you don't really pay that high a price.
Yeah.
At least you don't realize it at the time. But at our age, we need to be more mindful of that. That's why we have a whole one of our five core life issues is health and wellness. And it's maybe even goes beyond eating right and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other things because the parts start to wear out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to have good maintenance of that. So that our show isn't about that today. But
no, it isn't.
But the second B in the triple B here is balance and then body. And it's being mindful of our physical self.
Because you and I we've shared a couple times now about being intentional. So you can have the greatest of intentions, but if you can't get out of bed and accomplish what you feel God has called you to do, you're not going to get anywhere. So in a nutshell, I think the important thing is moving. Keep moving. Mm-hmm. Keep walking. Keep exercising as you can.
And before you go on to the third B, and I know that's where you're going. I have several books on my shelf that are about health and wellness and exercise and meal planning and everything. They're not doing me a bit of good, Dale. Why is that?
I can't imagine.
Yes, right. And it is about intention.
Sure.
I mean, I like to order books. And I like to look at the cover and look at the table of contents, and then it goes up on the shelf and say, it's probably good stuff. I'll get around to that, but it's being intentional.
It's one of your deferred projects you can do is pull out that book and say, hey, let's learn a little bit more about my physical health.
Yeah. But see, I'm already past that retirement age.
No.
See, so
I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. That's something I'm working on as well.
Well,
the third B, I think, would be blessing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love the most about this season in our life, mm-hmm. is to be a blessing to other mm-hmm. people. I mentioned earlier, I have two adult daughters. I have two. They're both married. They're raising their own family. They just both got into a new home this past summer. Mm-hmm. I can be a blessing to them. Well, they're out working and spending a lot of their time doing what first half folks do.
Right.
I can be the guy that goes over and mows their lawn, pressure washes their driveway, and is a blessing to them. So
plus, you have a granddaughter.
Exactly.
Yes, you can be grandpa babysitter now and then, right?
Well, it's a blessing to them. We watch our granddaughter every Thursday, my wife and
nice.
I. And that's a blessing to them.
Sure.
And so I think that, again, is the opportunity that God has for us. And that's what I would really encourage our listeners to do is view this opportunity. I have a friend. He's counting his days. It's circled on his calendar when he's going to retire.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage him, you know, what kind of a blessing will you be to your family and to your friends and you know, with the Lord?
And life is better when we intentionally make a point of being available to be a blessing. I've always said, and I think it's very, very biblical, you just look at the tables of the commandments.
Yeah.
We have two purposes in life. And one is to honor God, and the other is to bless people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're off base, if we're not squared away, if we're not balanced in those two things, we're going to be living a life that is much less than what it could be.
Yeah, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was just thinking the other day, I like to listen to Christian music. And I'm not sure I'll quote it exactly right, but there's a song that says that God made a million doors to show his love through, and one of those doors is you.
Well,
and I just believe that in the second half of our life, we can share and show God's love at a greater measure than we ever have in our life.
Because
if we're taking care of our body and if we have the right balance of priority, then we can really serve him in a greater measure. And I think that's really a big reason why we're still here.
And I like the way you put it, share and show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just verbal. It's not just talking,
right,
but it's living it. So my wrap-up question for you, Dale, is based on all this that we've talked about, we're on the same page. I mean, this is all good stuff. So what are your priorities and plans for the next 10 years? How old are you right now?
I am 63. 63. I was born in 1953, so I'm okay. Definitely in the middle of
solidly
the boomer pack.
Solidly a boomer.
Yes, right. Yes.
So what are your? What would you say to our listeners that what are your priorities and plans for the next 10 years?
Well, certainly mine probably vary from other people, you know, so everyone has to kind of work that out. But mm-hmm. at the core, it's really my life verse is based on Philippians 3. Mm-hmm. Paul writes that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yeah. So when I come to my finish line, it's not going to be, Dale, how many books did you write? How many sermons did you preach? Mm-hmm. How many neighbors' lawns did you mow? The Lord's going to look at me and I hope he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, because I knew you, enter into my rest.
Right.
So my purpose is, and my goal, generally speaking, is to know him and to make him known.
Yeah.
And I want to know Christ in a greater measure in the next 10 years than I do now. I want to look back and say, well, I didn't know that. I'm learning something new.
Right.
And I want to make him known. I want to lead more people to the Lord. Jude says a wise person, you know, wins souls. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be a soul winner. And that's part of my gifting. That's how God has wired me. I see people that way. I see your listeners that way. You have a listener maybe even right now that's stumbled onto this program. They don't have that relationship or mm-hmm. the insurance to know that they have a relationship with Christ. And yet they can do that. They can grow and they can enter into that relationship with Jesus, which will just set them free and give them the abundant life that they have right now and until they get promoted.
And this whole show is available on podcast, which can be heard around the clock and around the world. And so if you didn't get it all, you can just slide that little pointy thing down to the beginning and you can hear it all again, all the good stuff that Dale has been sharing with us. And I know, Dale, that you and I have talked about how to make this kind of wisdom practical and applicable, and I know you're going to be praying and working toward that, whether it's a book or a manual or a series or a class or a course or coaching or something, because we really need this stuff. We joked a little bit about they can go on Amazon and pre-order your book because it's pre-written.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but don't hold your breath on that one just yet.
That's right, yeah. So maybe we'll send out a notice when that book is available. So that is it for today. Gosh, it's been so good, Dale, and I really want to thank you again for coming in.
You bet. My pleasure.
Yeah, it is all about the second half, and we have that privilege and that that challenge, making the second half the best it can be. So that is it for today. I want to encourage you to tune in every Monday to KKPZ. That is on the AM dial, and that is in the market of Portland, Oregon. If you're hearing this somewhere else, you won't be able to tune it in unless you go to kkpz.com, and then there's a Listen Live button if you're looking at our time zone, Pacific time zone, 5:30 to 6 p.m. on Mondays. So I want to thank you again for listening. If you would like to have a free CD of this show, just call the radio station, 503-242-1950. And again, any questions or any comments or other suggestions, just fill in the contact form on our website, secondhalfnow.com. And if you have something specifically for Dale, I will forward it to him. And again, thanks, Dale. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, and we are saying goodbye for now. And until next time, may God help you live a life. And here it is. We were just talking about that honors him and blesses others. So let's meet again right here on the website, on the podcast, or live next Monday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, on the radio, KKPZ 1330, The Truth.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett on KKPZ 1330, The Truth, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.